Well, it's Happy Father's Day again to all of you, fathers. And I guess there's a lot of things you could say on Father's Day. I've heard a lot of sermons, and I guess maybe I've even brought some of them, that what is a good father? And that's not a bad thing to preach, but I guess I want to go a little further today. How to be a good father. And this is going to be in kind of rapid fire. You know, you men like guns and like rapid fire, I'm going to try and give it to you. But the rapid fire is going to come directly out of God's Word and pretty direct. Not a lot of stories, because God has a story. It's your story, and it's to see how you fit into this. And so I have on your outline, it's in your bulletin, there's 10 hot tips, I called them, and they're directly out of God's Word. And so let's get into them. I guess the grills are waiting in the garage or somewhere, but they're going to be fine. Just bear with me, and thanks for being here with us. Hot tip number one, you got to love your wives. I want to tell you, your children are watching you and how you treat their mother. They watch, and the understanding that they get from what they've learned and what the blueprint that is before them will become what they are. If you're verbally, mentally, or physically abusing your wife, your daughter will expect that to happen in her marriage. If your son sees you disrespect your wife, that's probably the kind of marriage that he's going to carry on. So let's keep in mind that our kids watch what we do. I heard it in Sunday school, yeah. They learn about 10% maybe of what they read, but they learn a lot more from actions and how important it is to show that respect. You can do it this way. If they visibly, your children, see you loving and respecting their mother, your son will learn how to be a good and respectful father and husband. Now, it's pretty important that they see you honoring your wife, because as your daughter will never be satisfied then, let me say this again, as they see you respect your wife, they will never tolerate less than their husband showing respect to them. And respect is a big part of love, isn't it? So let's think about what's happening. If you cherish their mother as a valuable part, not only of your life, but of their life, they're going to model after you. And it comes right out of God's Word. Let me give you Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. How much do you love yourself? How much do you put yourself into other people's lives or into a job or into whatever? We need to put that love, it says, love your wife. So that's powerful tip. Hot tip number one. Number two, don't expect perfect children. You're not a perfect father. I was not a perfect father. And we don't have to expect perfect children. That doesn't mean we don't set goals for them. That doesn't mean that we don't encourage them. But we can't expect them to be perfect. The unfortunate thing is, and I've seen it, and I was one of them, I tried to expect more out of my son. I wanted to expect out of my son what I failed to do. I expected them to be better than what I was, perhaps at playing basketball or whatever. They want their daughters to marry into money and success, and which I certainly didn't do. But let's understand that every child is different, and they're not a clone of you. So consequently, yes, we have to instruct the proper things from the Word of God. Yes, we need to expect the proper things from the Word of God. And yes, we expect certain behavior. But we've got to accept those kids where they are. You know, some may be clumsy. Some may be athletic. You know, some might be scatterbrained and some brainy. But wherever they are, that's where we accept them and then encourage them to become something better than what they are, but it comes through encouragement, not judgmental stuff. It helps. It works. Positive motivation works, my friends. I've said it for a long time. Positive motivation works. Negative motivation has the negative concept. So Instead of constantly criticizing the imperfections of our children, we need to acknowledge those imperfections, help them to grow through them through encouragement, but at the same time, not be critical. They're not going to be perfect. We expect more from them, but they're not going to be perfect. And so a criticizing parent will just drive it deeper into where you don't want to see them go. So that comes from Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. It says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." I'm not saying that some discouragement's not okay, but we got to be encouraging, even whenever we're discouraged, we got to be encouraging to them. It's kind of like, and I've gave the example many times, you know, what is it whenever we see a report card, which one do we jump on? Well, it's usually the low grade. But what if we praise the high grade? Would that help bring up the other grade? Would they say, well, now you did a great job here. Can we just bring that up a notch? What if we praised it, encouraged it, rather than discouraged it and played it down? Let's think about it. Hot tip number 3, enjoy your children. Comes from Psalm 127:3 that says this. Behold, he says, listen up to me. Listen up to me. That's what God's saying. Behold, he says, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. We've got to understand that children were given to us to enjoy, not to be a burden, not to avoid, and certainly not to ignore, but to enjoy them where they are and what they're doing and how they're doing and how they're progressing. May I say this? I think it was one of my biggest faults as a parent was not giving enough time to my children. I was trying to go to school. Yeah, I was trying to do this and trying to do that. It was a lot more than what I should have been trying to do. And I have to admit that, not giving time to them, you know, letting them enjoy some fun things of life. None of this thing where, you know, I've heard it and I've probably tried to practice it to no avail. That is, the quality of time is more important than quantity of time. That's not true. That is an absolute lie from the pits of hell. Because the quantity of time that you give children, it shows them how important they are to you. That they're not an afterthought, that they're not an inconvenience, that they are something that's disruptive to your life because they happen to be in your life. We've got to be careful. Be a good father. Enjoy your children while you can, you know. Those 18 years come awfully quick, and then they're gone, and then you've lost your input that you can give to them to a great extent. Hot tip number 4, listen to your children. Give them your undivided attention, not with one eye on the TV set and one eye on them, or not with one ear to them and one ear to the TV set. When they have a problem, when they are worried, when they are sad, when they are lonely, they are like an open book if you'll look at them. If you'll pay attention, they're like an open book that'll show you there's something going on. It's a time, Dad, when they need you. It's a time for you to sit down and chat. Maybe not as direct as sometimes we want to get, but something to open up conversations. Listen to them. Sometimes their silence speaks loud words. If you'll just watch and listen to them. You know, if you listen to them when they're small and when their problems are small, they'll come to you when they're bigger and the problems are bigger. That open relationship has to be there. You know, I'm thankful that I have a son. I know he's not perfect, and he's did a lot of things strange, but you know what? He still has a relationship where he can call me up and tell me some of the things that are of the epitome to me. But you know, he still communicates, and I still have an opportunity to mold or have some impression upon his life, and so that becomes pretty important. Listen to your children. Here it comes, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. A wise man will hear and increase learning. Do you hear that? A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain with great counsel. You know, the greatest counselor in your son's eyes is you, my friend. You're the one that will have the most influence in their lives. Not the one that's drinking on the job or telling about all of his stories on the job, but still today, I can tell you that in my son's life, I still believe I have an influence. He may not like what I say. He might get mad at me when I say it. But you know, it still has an influence. Hot tip number 5, provide for your children. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Even the lost provide for families. Unfortunately, in our country right now, as I've heard, you know, in various different segments of our country, how certain groups, it's a high of 90%, is not caring for their offspring. Very, very trying times. You know, you can't be a good father and not provide for them, right? But there's a contrary to that that I want to bring out. Because I don't mean that you provide everything on God's green earth to your kids. I think that's one of the worst things you can do. I'll tell you why. I think we've now got a generation that has missed what it means, what it really means to want, to wait. That's right. To want, to work, and to wait. To want, to work, and wait. You know, I can remember when I was growing up, I used to get 50 cents a week as an allowance. And I saved and saved and saved, and I had my thoughts upon, I want a clock radio beside my bed. And that was a big thing to me. I wanted to listen to the Cleveland Indians, so bless their souls. But I wanted to listen to the Indians, and I wanted a radio next to my, well, it took a lot of allowances, but whenever I got it, I didn't want anybody to touch it, and there was never going to be any dust on that because it meant more to me, and that's what happens today. You know, unfortunately, the reverse has happened. For parents of a generation that's wanted to give their kids everything and give them everything and give them everything, there was no appreciation. But now, whenever they get married and they're out on their own, they still want to expect that, but they can't do it. What happens? They pile it up in credit card debt that they'll probably never get out from under. You know, it's not wrong to let them want and to work and to wait. It's not wrong. You know, I think back that about some of the things that went on in my life, my early life. If we wanted water, we had to go prime the pump and pump it. If we had to go to the bathroom, it was 100 feet to the outhouse. We didn't have a telephone until I was a junior in junior high. Does that mean that my dad didn't provide for me? Not at all. I don't look at it that way today. Even as old as I am and the conveniences that I have. You know, I understand what it means to work and wait upon what I can do and do with my hands to provide for what my wants are, not looking to someone else to provide them. So hot tip number 6, train your children. That's a big one. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, and you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Yes, we've got to teach our children, and certainly we've got to teach them to respect authority. If there's anything that's missing in our country today, in our community, even in our church, is no respect for authority. No respect for authority. It's going on in schools big time. That's so unfortunate. We need to teach children the boundaries. And those boundaries that we set, they're not to be. Those become the rules and regulations. You know, if they can't follow those simple little rules in your life, what's going to happen whenever they get into the working world? And they try to tell their boss, I can't do this. There he goes. It doesn't work. Absolutely, your children are going to test you. Absolutely, they're going to test you, and they're going to see how far and how much they can get away with. But you know what? If you keep giving up on the godly principles that you're supposed to be teaching them, you know, I'll tell you what's going to happen pretty soon. They're going to be in control, and you're going to be submissive to them. And that's what happens in so many families, unfortunately. Whether we want to accept it and believe it or not, but we have a responsibility to train children to respect authority, to earn the respect, and to be consistent with the discipline that we give them and not be bending. You say, well, wait a minute, there's times. Well, if you said it, then you can't go back on what you say. If you do, how can they respect the authority that you're trying to give them? It's not a on-off thing. It's something that we got to teach them, and that's what's missing in this country today. Whether we want to accept it or not, I have to deal with it every day, and most of you do. Hot tip number 7, pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11 says this, seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face evermore. Let's face the fact, guys. We're big and we want to show a lot of strength and we know it all. Listen, we don't. We don't have all the answers to the questions that comes at us. We just don't know how to solve all the problems that comes at us. And we don't have all the wisdom, but I can share with you this morning that I know someone that does have all the wisdom and all the answers to all things. And He's up here. And why would we not be asking Him to provide for those answers when we need? Seeking the Lord. You need help. Let's face it. It's okay. That's being a big man. That's being a big person to ask whenever you need help. Not deny it. It's a big opportunity that you have. You need help. And I know where you can get it, and so do you. We need to go there and seek it and find it and use it and acknowledge it and be thankful for it. Amen. Hot tip number 8, pray for your children. You know, as I think about that, I know I pray for this church every 3 times every day at least. And it's kind of like this. You can't be with your children all the time, can you? But God can. You can't be with your children whenever those events happen in their lives that you might have taught them the things, but it's a time, and if you're praying for them, just maybe the Holy Spirit of God that's living in them will bring through their remembrance what Jesus taught us, as He said He would. It's great. Pray for your children. Lift them up to God. For the things that you can't do. And there's a lot of things that we can't be and can't do. We can't be every place our children are, but God can. We got to remember that. Praying for them, because your Heavenly Father, let's remember, He loves them more than what you could even love them. And He wants to hear from you, though. He wants to hear from you. We have not because we ask not. If we want to worry about our children, but why worry? Why don't we put them in God's hands? Why don't we pray to God to protect them? You know, I pray for that for this church all the time. I pray for you individually many times that God will protect you from what you're going through. You know, I thought about Mark the other day, and I had to call him up on the phone. I knew he was out west. I knew he was running an 18-wheeler. I knew a storm was coming through, and I had to call him up. And he let me know that he was out of it. He was in Indiana or Illinois or wherever you were. But, you know, I was praying for him, and I wanted him to know that God's with him. How important that is for us to let our children know that God is with them regardless of where they are or what they're doing. God is with them. That's the greatest message that we can possibly give to them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. There's nothing wrong either with you showing your child. Take them by the hand and get down on your knees. And whenever they got a difficult time going on in their lives, to get down on your knees with them and to show them that you believe that there's strength in the Almighty God of what He can do for their differences, whatever they are, whatever those problems are. Show them what God can do by getting down on your knees and praying with them. And I hope that you and pray that you'll do that, because that's hot tip number 8, is to be a positive role model in their lives. How important that is. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We may have heard that many, many times in our lives. We may have heard that in other messages. Train up a child the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. You know, I've had difficulties just like you have. You know, whenever the children reach that rebellious teenage years and they want to rebel against what we have, well, you keep on training, you keep on encouraging, you keep on praying for them, that God will have that locked in, that you can become a positive role model. You know, regardless of whether we like it or whether we don't, you and I today, because we are who we are, even as adults around children, you become a role model. It's either a positive or a negative, because you are a Christian. Positive or negative, you become a role model, and I hope they'll only pick up those things that are good. But regardless, you as a father, one way or another, whether it be positive or negative, they're going to see it from you, and you are their role model. You are what they're going to become. It's what their family is going to be, not only for this generation, but for generations to come. How do I know that? Because forever, it was God's way that fathers teach, and it's passed on to the next generation. It still is that way. The father is to be the most respected in the home. The one of authority, spiritual authority, not a dictator, but spiritual authority over that home. And he is teaching, and as he is teaching, it ought to be through being a positive role model of whatever and wherever and however things are done. It should be a positive way. Hot tip number 10, prepare your children. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 24 says, the father of righteousness will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Will delight in him. You know, when we have children, we got 18 years usually to prepare them to go on. And whatever we have been able to put into their minds, make them see the right things over and over consistently. We've prayed, we've talked with them, we've encouraged them, and that's locked into their minds. And now we can only continue to pray for them that they have received those things that we have tried to teach them and has prepared them to leave home. Someday they're going to take all that they have learned from you, and then they will establish that new home of their own. And it's only then that they'll come to realize and appreciate what you did for them. But that's parents. That's parental. That's parental guidance. That's mommyhood. That's fatherhood. It's not easy, I understand. It's not easy to be a father. It's not easy to be a mother. But you know what? You're the one that God gave that child to teach. Preparing them for the life away from home, it lands directly at the home plate. Dad, Mom. You know, you're not preparing them. You're not preparing children to be great doctors, great dentists, great plumbers, great anything. You're preparing them for life and life situations. You can't choose, I understand, an eternal life concept for your children either. But how wrong it would be for dads not to share and to guide children into eternal security with the Lord Jesus Christ. How wrong that would be. I have heard it said many, many times to me, well, my children don't come to church, and I just give them their choice of whether they want to come. They don't have a choice. Their choice is to come to church, to come to Sunday school, and to learn about the Almighty God who gave a Savior to us, and they need to find out who it is and how they can receive Him. It's our responsibility to get them to church and to keep them coming to church. What they do after they're not under your table, well, you can't control that. That's not your control anymore. But it's certainly our responsibility. to give them the opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. And with that being done, their spiritual destiny may be lost. But their spiritual destiny has to be known that they have a choice. And that choice is whether they accept Christ as Lord and Savior or they reject Him. But they have to know that if they reject Him, that there's a price to pay, and it's not going to be a good price. It's going to be an eternal lake of fire that burneth forever and ever, where the worm dieth not, where only God intended it to be reserved for the devil and his angels. And nobody sends, God the Father does not send anyone to hell. It's because they don't accept Him. And that's what has to be taught to them, to prepare our children for eternity. I understand better than most of you because I've been through so many situations, and I thank God that I have. But you know, there's nothing greater than you can teach these children than respect for the Almighty God. Respect and a reverence for the Almighty God, and a respect and reverence and a prayer to the Almighty God, and a respect and reverence and a love for the Almighty God. A love for Him, a reverent respect for Him, a reverent respect for Him. There's nothing better than we can teach these 10 hot tips. They all come out of the Word of God, but I'm convinced today that American families will not be changed until the fathers stand up and take their God-given responsibilities to fulfill the 10 hot tips that I gave you today. It has to begin with the father. And I think it has to begin with a God-fearing, hard-working, worshiping man of God. You know, the Lord tells us to be bold. But the Lord tells us to be loving. And the Lord tells us to be worshiping. And the Lord tells us to be working. But you know, whenever we think about fatherhood, I can't think about anything except a strong man. A strong man, yes, a strong man in his spiritual life. But he's tender with loving and caring words for his child. The tender and loving care that he gives his son or his daughter that bears out the words that what God speaks. I can't think that strength doesn't go with love with our Almighty God. The strength and the love that comes with a hug whenever there's difficult times. The kiss on the cheek or the forehead when there's difficult times. The lifting up and the encouraging in difficult times. Wouldn't we like it? And don't we have it? And don't we get it when we have that close relationship with the Almighty God? He does it for us. I want you to think about it. Until your children get to your point in life where they're after that from the Almighty God, until that time, who is their God? Who is the one that they respect? Who is the one that they love the most? Who is that? And I think you can point at yourself. We have that responsibility. What makes a good dad? I think it's strength, but yet with tender, caring love, with compassion in his heart. Many of you are that. And maybe this morning I was this message was coming to the choir. I'll tell you what, choir, you need to sing it. You need to sing it. There's a whole world out there that needs to know exactly what God's Word just said to you. If I'm preaching to the choir, then choir, go sing it. And I encourage you. This morning I want to share again, if there's one here that's never received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, I want to tell you the story that Jesus went to that cross right there and He paid a price for your sins that you couldn't pay. No one can pay the price for your sins. No one. Only the shed blood of Jesus Christ could do that because He was the only one that was perfect. The only one that was perfect because He was the Son of God, born of a virgin. He is the only one that could have paid that price, and He came for that very intent purpose to do so. And He did. As He died and He was buried, But on the third day, God raised him from the dead. And my Bible says, if you believe that with all of your heart, confess it with your mouth, thou shalt be saved. And this morning, if there's one here that has not yet received Christ as Lord and Savior, I encourage you. We're going to have an invitational time at this point. And if God's speaking to you, you know, you want somebody to pray with, you come with me. I'd like to get down here and pray with you on my knees with you. There'll be another deacon or two down here that'll be willing to come and pray with you if you want that. Whatever God is doing in your heart this morning, if He's done anything, if He's opened up eyes, I pray that you'll have this relationship and grow this relationship with Him this morning. Can we stand and pray together? Father, I cry out to you and say thank you. Thank you for your words. Thank you for this group of people that came. And Lord, let it be an instruction this morning, an encouragement, an understanding to know where we are and who we are and what we need to do as parents, as grandparents, as people of God, that we might show the world what we are and what we need to be. And I pray, God, this morning we'll all get it right. And we give this time to you to draw them to you so that you can make it right with each one. And I praise you for the opportunity that they have. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. As the music plays, whatever plays, it doesn't matter. What matters is that relationship that you have with parents or grandparents. And He invites you to come to this altar right now and get it right. Get it right with Him. I'll pray with you if you come.